Hey everybody, welcome to the World SF Tour, our special feature throughout the year in which we're obviously celebrating World SF. There are a number of ways you could support this show, just really quick. One is you could subscribe to the show. We're on iTunes, we have the blog, all that good stuff. There's all kinds of cool stuff on the blog too you should check out. That's one way you could support us. You can obviously let people know about us. That's really cool when people do that, link to us and all that good stuff. And the other way is actually to go to audibletrial.com/skiffyandfanty, sign up for 1 month free trial membership. You get a free audiobook out of the deal. You get to try their service if you like it, to keep it, which is cool. And that, I mean, that's really that simple. So that helps us as much as the rest of it does. But in any case, thank you for listening. I really hope you enjoy this year, this very specially themed year. And of course, if we missed anything, which we're undoubtedly going to do, feel free to let us know. Send us an email or leave a comment or something. Maybe even on some of our discussion episodes, you let us know about some great works from a certain region that we should be talking about. So in any case, I'll let you get to the episode, and I hope you enjoy it.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, yes. Monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode 186.
Talking Israeli publishing and translation with Rani Graf and Didi Chanoch.
Hey, you got
well
it.
Well done.
Hey. Hello.
Perfect. So why don't we have each of you just briefly tell us a little bit about yourself. So we'll start with you, Ronnie. What is your involvement within the field of Israeli publishing?
Well, I founded my own publishing house about 10 years ago. So I publish a lot of science fiction and fantasy. Most of it, almost all of it, is translated from English. And basically that's it. I do a lot of science fiction fantasy, a lot of YA. I publish in Hebrew the Percy Jackson's books, the Cassandra Clare books, and apart from that, I did a lot of Diana Wynne Jones, Robert Charles Wilson, Mark Twain, Garth Nix, Carol Berg, many others whom I'm sure I just forgot, but they're there. Didi, who is on right here online, translated many of the books that I published.
Excellent. Didi, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, I've been translating science fiction fantasy on and off for about 20 years now. I was the science fiction fantasy editor for two different publishers here in Israel. Currently, I am just mostly translating and writing about technology and also editing Ronnie's publishing house's blog.
Yes, that is very, very true. I forgot to mention that.
Excellent. So I want to start by briefly getting your perspectives on the genre fiction community in Israel, and perhaps even since obviously you both are dealing with translated works into Hebrew, the community within the Hebrew-speaking community. And so I guess we could start with you, Rani. I mean, what is the community, how has it developed in your perspective, perhaps since you've been publishing, since you say you publish primarily genre fiction?
Well, I think the community, since I came into the community about 11, 12 years ago, and I think that at the time it was a lot younger, not just by age, but also by concept. And right now you can see what I have been seeing in communities in other countries, especially in the United States and the UK, where you see older people now coming in, people who are also already economically independent. And it's growing. It's becoming, I think, a little bit more mature than it was when I started the beginning of the 2000s. That's the mainframe.
Okay. What about you, Didi?
I will say, although we do have more adults, we do, unlike a lot of fandoms, still have a nonstop influx of kids. We have teens, a lot of them at all of our conventions, and that's very cool. And yeah, fandom in Israel is very active.
No, no, okay, you both. I have, go ahead, Julie.
I was going to say I have a question for Ronnie, and that's what made you decide that you wanted to start a publishing house, and how do you decide which books you want to have translated?
That's basically the same question. I decided that I wanted to do that when, you know, it was a long time dream of mine to open a publishing house and publish all those books, all those science fiction books that I've been reading since I was a teen in English. And I thought somebody should bring those to the Israeli public. Not that there weren't science fiction books before that in Hebrew, there were, but not the ones that I wanted, the ones that I loved. Which brings me to the second part of the question, which is like, if I like it and if I love it, that's how I decide. I have no other standards. I don't know how to answer that differently.
Well, it's kind of nice
to hear that. Other people tell me that they see a common thread between the books that I choose to publish. I don't see that at all. So you'll have to ask other people. Maybe Gidi can answer that.
Do you want to take a shot, Didi?
Well, okay. Bronny does mostly do stuff Ronnie likes. But nobody's even Ronnie's gonna say he completely ignores commercial viability. I'm sure there's books that Ronnie would love to do, but realizes that him and five other people would love, and it's still a business. So
oh yeah, totally.
But apart from that, yeah, Graf is a boutique publisher, which was lucky enough to strike two really hot irons with Cassandra Clare and Rick Riordan. So that also helps in publishing pretty much any other kind of books he'd like to do.
Well, that's good. So actually, this brings me to a question for you, Didi. Since you translate from English into Hebrew, what are some of the biggest challenges for that process?
I don't think there are a lot of challenges that are unique to Hebrew, apart from one, which is unique to Hebrew, especially when doing fantasy. And that is, during the Middle Ages, there was a whole long stretch there when Hebrew was a dead language. So there's a lot of terms that are very prevalent in fantasy, mostly medieval weapons and medieval pieces of armor. We just don't have words for at all. So we'll have to translate stuff to chest armor, thigh armor, shoulder armor. All these things have words in English, and we don't. And the other issue is the fact that Hebrew is a very gendered language. If somebody says you, it is both either plural or singular, and it is gendered. So there are a lot of vagueness that authors can play around with in English is not available to us, and we have to find ways to work around that.
So in a lot of senses, you have to kind of contextualize the pronouns.
Or decontextualize if an author is being intentionally vague.
So how do you handle that if someone is obviously trying to obfuscate the gender of their protagonist and using pronouns that you would find gendered in Hebrew? What do you do?
You change the sentences around until, you know, you turn them around until you can find a version that's not gendered. And sometimes, in plural, you can default to male plural in Hebrew, even if it's a group where it's mixed or it's a female majority, because Hebrew is a somewhat chauvinistic language, and sexist language. You work around. It'll be difficult to give an example because it would be in Hebrew.
And we wouldn't understand.
Can I say something more general about that?
Sure, absolutely.
I felt ever since I started working with translators and editors in Hebrew that anybody who can translate science fiction and fantasy to Hebrew can translate anything, but it doesn't work the other way around because you have to invent stuff. While you translate science fiction and fantasy, you don't have to do that much or even at all when you translate mainstream titles.
Right, because there's a very particular language.
So I feel that in a way, science fiction translators are, I don't want anybody to kill me, but I think that science fiction translators are in a way better translators.
I feel like it's probably okay to say that on a science fiction fandom podcast.
Okay.
We're all just be like, yes, we are the best.
Yes, of course.
So I have a question for Didi, and that's, how did you get into translation, and what is it that really draws you to it?
I've gotten into it pretty much, in theory, the moment I found out that it's a job one could do. I've been fascinated by it. I started reading in English when I was a teen, and I ran out of translated science fiction and fantasy books. I had read them all, and so started reading in English. And when I was about 18, I went to one of our earliest sort of a proto convention, and I met a person there who was a translator, and we became friends, and she helped get me into the business. She would originally go over my work and correct it and tell me what I did wrong. So I was is kind of an apprenticeship, an unofficial apprenticeship.
Actually makes me wonder, do you also translate the opposite direction from, I don't know if there's got to be a community of Hebrew language science fiction. Is that something that you also do, that you translate the opposite way?
It is a million times harder to translate from your first language to your second language, because that's not the language you're used to writing in. The language you translate to is the language you write in. I have recently translated a short story by Rotem Baruchin, who is one of our finest, if not, I would say our finest local writers of short fiction in the genre. And she's sending it off to places in hopes that it gets published. And I did that for two reasons. One was I wanted to see if I could do it. I wanted to stretch that particular muscle, and it was very difficult. And the other is that I think it would be worthwhile for her to be for her work to be out and about in other languages, specifically in English.
So, Ronnie, do you publish things that are written primarily in Hebrew? Like, do you only do translated works, or do you do Hebrew original works?
I mostly do translated work. I tried two original novels. One was a children's book. The other was an actual novel. And so far, and I'm not going to go into details, but because of the very sad affair of the Israeli state of the book market, which is a whole story by itself. We can do a podcast just about that. It's right now, for me, it's not viable. But I'm really sorry about that, and I hope that things might change even in the near future, which will make me rethink that. So far, no. In the future, maybe.
Well, why don't you expand on that just a little bit? I mean, I know you said that it's such a broad topic, but what specifically is within the Israeli book market that's so problematic?
Basically, the book market in the last 12 years was controlled by two big bookstore chains, and they basically were a monopoly or a duopoly, and they brought many, many publishers, even big ones, to the grind. You know, they just made it to many, many publishers. They made it that it's not really worthwhile publishing books, any books really. And so if I'm a small publisher like me, like myself, then I can maybe work around it a bit. And if I didn't have Rick Riordan and Cassandra Clare, I probably wouldn't be able to do that either. Many other publishers are, you know, it's being a little bit at least for me, too expensive to invest in original books. Doesn't matter if it's science fiction or not, because it's a whole different process of work. And right now, with the state of the Israeli book market, it's simply not worthwhile for me.
As a business owner,
I hope it'll change, because recently the Israeli parliament just passed a law that should change all that, and I was involved in the legislation part of that law, and it should come into effect next month. And we'll see after a few months that law, you know, is already working. We'll see how things work out, and then I'll decide once again. I'll reevaluate everything.
Interesting. That's very interesting. So,
yeah, it's kind of the other way around. Like you know, in the United States or in England, you have many problems with Amazon, which are real problems. Our problems are a little bit the other way around, but they're still very, very real. And it's a big discussion right now in Israel, very heated, naturally, very passionate. But we'll see how things work out.
Excellent. So actually, I want to jump in really quick and take us in a different direction. Since obviously, Dee Dee, you'd mentioned that you'd read work that obviously was in English, and also before that you apparently ran out of stuff in your original language. But I wanted to talk to both of you. We'll start with you, Dee Dee. Some of your favorite Israeli authors, whether publishing in English or in originally in Hebrew or possibly even other languages.
Well, I think you mentioned that you were going to be interviewing a couple of them. Shimon Adaf and Leviti Dha, who you said you're going to be interviewing, are both great and they're both friends of both of ours. Israel's a really small country. I also really love Asaf Asheri, who wrote a wonderful and very Israeli fantasy novel called Simantov. A biblical contemporary fantasy novel with scary ass angels. So that was really great. Let me see. Rani
Gavron, you might want to mention him.
That was the other name I was looking for. Thank you.
Yeah.
Who wrote an excellent science fiction novel, and after a few years of being told, yes, your novel was science fiction, eventually begrudgingly admitted that it was. We're talking about a novel that takes place in the future with all of the trappings of science fiction that you might like, with actual scientific and social speculation. It's a proper science fiction novel. I mean, eventually he came around and admitted that. We have some really talented people doing short fiction. We have Ophir Tukshtusha Gaplay is good. Yoav Avni, they're writing work that's very science fictional and very certainly not realistic work. So it's definitely genre, but it's a bit more slipstreamy, which also some of Shimon Adaf's work is. But they're both very talented. Ophir was actually published, I believe, by Tor in English.
Yes, so, it was published by Tor. Just now.
It's very exciting to see some of our authors get published and recognized in the UK, in the US. In Levi's case, he, apart from some short fiction, he has not yet been published in Hebrew in novel form. Well, that's not true. He wrote a book with Nirini, but the books that are famous, you know, the Osama and the Bookman series and the new one, The Violent Century, those are all not yet available in Hebrew. Rani is going to publish them eventually.
And yeah, you're going to translate them.
Did you already translate?
Oh wow! I remember we talked about that. I think at WorldCon that you I think you were working on Osama, And that book is really difficult because it's such a strange book.
I've read Osama, and I know it will be very difficult, but I have not started working on it yet. That one's going to be hell. Luffy's a good friend, but not a friend to translators.
And what about you, Ronnie? Some folks that maybe Didi has not mentioned that you'd like to mention?
Well, apart from all the folks that Didi mentioned and that I totally agree with him, those would be actually my first choices if you had asked me first. I would probably also mention Hagai Dagan, who published two very, very interesting fantasy and science fiction books, also very, very rooted in the Hebrew culture. I think that's all. We also have Vered Tuchterman, who is a very she's been around for the last decade or so. She just published her first book about
her first novel, second book. She also had a collection.
Her first novel, about a year ago. But before that, she published many, many, many excellent short stories. And she's like, I would call her maybe the grand madame of the Israeli science fiction community and authors as well, in a way, in a sense.
Yeah, she will probably take your head off for that.
yes, she will. So we'll never tell her about that. She'll never listen to this podcast.
I'm sorry. We're not going to be promoting this podcast in Israel now to save Ronnie's life.
Well, excellent.
And I already mentioned Otten Boruchin, who I think is our finest short fiction writer, certainly in within the community, and who will definitely be getting published in some form or another. Roni Gelfish, who's a literary author, is about to publish a YA fantasy also that I've read a version of, and it's an early version of, and it's really fun. There seems to be more and more activity.
That's awesome. That's great. And hopefully we get a lot of it over in our part of the world too. Cause I like it, reading Lavi Tidar and having read Osama, having my brain melted. So,
oh, okay. That explains a lot.
That book is incredible. Yeah. I really like that book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is incredible. And it will be published in Hebrew sometimes by yours truly.
Oh, excellent. That'll be great. I would really love to see how the community responds to it. Because, I know quite a lot of people, like in the U.S. and the U.K., really, really like that particular book for many reasons, not least of all because it's very strange. But it's also
I guess that's the reason they gave it the World Fantasy Award last year.
Yeah, it totally deserved it.
Yep, I think so too.
All right, well, excellent. Julie, do you have any last questions?
Well, I guess the one question I have is, are of all of the books that you guys mentioned and all the authors that you mentioned, are there any that we can find to read ourselves?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Are they available in English? Are they available in the U.S. or are they just available in Hebrew?
Oh, okay. Didi, you want to pick that up?
Shimon Adaf recently had a book published in English. It debuted at World Fantasy in Brighton. Ronnie, you remember its name in English? I can Google it real quick, but I can't remember the English title.
No, but I'll look it online while you're still talking. Hopefully it will work.
We mentioned
Sunburned Face or Faces.
Yeah, that's actually one that we are planning to read, and we're going to interview him. So we have that on our list already.
Should. Yeah.
Great. So that's the one.
Excellent. So we'll get to read that. Yeah. Go ahead.
And The World of the End is the name in the English name of Ophir Tushegafla's book that's been published by Tor. So that one is available. Obviously, all of Levy's work is available in English because he writes in English. A lot of Asaf Kavon's work is available in various European languages. He's kind of Michael Hasselhoff. He's huge in Germany.
Yeah, for some reason we have no idea why. I think maybe even he is not sure about why. He's got a very good agent.
he does famously have a very good agent in Germany who also sold his stuff all over Europe. But they also they love his stuff. And let's see, he's published in a bunch of languages, but not so much in English. But his book, if you have European listeners, his book Domania, which is his science fiction novel, is available in a variety of languages. So people can look that up.
Excellent.
I have nothing to add to that. I mean, I think he pretty much covered it all.
I'm sure we've forgotten quite a few books and writers, but such is life.
Yeah, and I'll try to put links to folks that have web pages. When I edit the episode, I'll make sure to try to find links to web pages or books for everybody, even if it's not in English.
Sure.
I'll put it there. You can use Google Translate for the pages they can't read. Well, excellent. So,
yeah.
So why don't we take a moment and so you can tell people where to find you. So, Ronnie, tell us about your publishing company and where people can find you on the interwebs.
Well, they can find me. Well, I do have a website, which is at www.gbooks.co.il, or simply on Facebook, Ronnie Graff or Graff Publishing. And if anybody wants to find me, and people do find me and do ask me questions, all kinds of weird questions and all kinds of non-weird questions. So, yeah, please, come on. Bring it on.
Excellent. And what about you, Didi?
Well, you can find me blogging at www.gbooks.coil. That's strange how that website keeps coming up. You can find me on Twitter at D-I-D-I-C. That's DDC or Didik or however you wish to read it. You can find all my links of various kinds at about.me/DidiChanoch. Is spelled C-H-A-N-O-C-H.
Perfect. Well, thank you both for coming on and talking with us about is the publishing community, genre fiction, translation, all of that. It was really great. So thank you, Rennie.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Didi.
Thank you for having us.
Yep. And thank you, Julia, for being my co-host today.
Yeah, it was great to talk to all of you.
Excellent. Cool. We will see everybody for the next episode in the World SF Tour.
Bye. Great. Yay.
Bye.
Bye.
If you would like to send us hate mail on this episode or any other topics we've covered, you can do so in a number of ways. You can send us an email.
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
You can send us a tweet.
@SkiffyandFanty.
Leave a comment on the blog.
SkiffyandFanty.com.
Go to Google+.
Shawnee Jen.
And or Facebook.
The Skiffy and Fanty Show. Our intro music comes from Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
Another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.